Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticost. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning our topic is taken from Romans chapter 6, and I'm going to be reading from verses 11 through 14 of Romans 6. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Let me read that again. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. In Romans chapter 6, Paul makes a very important statement for the believing lives. And in fact, he makes several important statements for the believing lives. First of all, in chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may superabound? God forbid. How shall we," notice collective pronouns, "how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" It is important to realize that in chapter 6, Paul's thesis is that the cross of the Jesus broke the power of sin. And that is a very powerful statement. And so, with that reality in our lives, because we are now conjoined with the living Christ, we can live lives that are apart from sin. And for our study, sin is any want or lack of conformity to the character of God, whether it be an act, disposition, or state. And so that power in the past that enslaved us, literally, because the practice of sin means enslavement to sin. And so the cross of the Jesus broke that power in our lives. In Ephesians chapter 2 and following, Paul says that we were dead. In trespasses and sins. Now, trespasses, where trespass means to overstep a boundary or a divinely established boundary. So Paul said we were dead in trespasses and sentence, plural. Therefore, now, because our lives have been radically changed, radically altered, because we are now in Christ, in Christos. We are now in Him. And this is a great message of Paul's letter to the Ephesians. The new reality, the most important prepositional phrase in the New Testament, in Christ. And we know that throughout his writings, Paul used that particular prepositional phrase over 164 times. And it is to this phrase, this particular prepositional phrase, it speaks the new beginning that believers have in Christ. Now, what does this mean for us on a practical level? Well, a very practical level. In fact, 1 John teaches us that those who are born again ones, do not practice or cannot practice sin, because the sperma, that is the seed of God, remains within. Now, it's very interesting to me that I still hear individuals speak about the old sin nature, resident within the heart of the believer. And I do not read that within the Greek New Testament. But I rarely hear messages on the sperma or the seed of God, which remains within the heart or the hearts of the believing ones. And so exactly who we are, that is who the believing ones are, because of the great realities that are now within our lives, boggles my mind constantly. It is so wonderful and at times overwhelming to think about what God has done for us in Christ. Now, I'm going to read from 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, which reads, "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin." And it should literally read, "doth not practice sin. For his seed or sperma remaineth in him." Present indicative, present reality. "Remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God." And so the word cannot here is dunatai. And from the Greek, it means he does not have the power. He is not able or have the power to sin or to practice sin. It is a present indicative middle in the Greek, and I will go over that some other time. I want to continue on in our study. And so the believer cannot practice sin because that sperma of him remains within him, or that seed of God remains within. And then in verse 10, John states, "In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the diabolos. Whosoever doeth righteousness, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." And so John goes on to take the very practical aspect of being born anew of God. And so we go back to the book of Romans, beginning at verse 11 of chapter 6. Paul states that the believing one has power because of the indwelling spirit to calculate or to make this commitment this mental calculation with regard to the new reality in Christ. That is his new, or that is her new situation. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be, now notice the state of being verb, to be. And you have the prepositional phrase, of course, to be. But notice the state of being verb. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed, or as to be dead in fact unto sin. And so when we slowly and carefully read these verses, when we slowly and carefully study these verses without casual reading, when we carefully look into these verses through the power of the Spirit and through deep and painstaking study, then we begin to understand what God has done for us. But there must be a deep commitment on the part of the believing one to study the Word of God, to understand the Word of God, and not merely to pick up the Word of God occasionally, but to be deeply involved in the message of the Scriptures. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. That old life is gone. The power of that old life should be gone in the life of the believing individual. But, very important word in Scripture. Here's the contrast. And the word but here does point to the contrast. But alive, dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through the instrumentality of Jesus Christ, the Lord of us, literally, the Lord of us. So therefore, and then we move to verse 12, let not sin, therefore reign. And here we have another, we have a present imperative. And the present imperative of prohibition, which means to forbid an action already going on. Present imperative of prohibition. Let not sin therefore reign. And so once again, this deals with or forbids an action already going on in the lives of believing one. Now this is how it is very critical to get this and to understand the very deep and the very profound way in which God understands the hearts of the believing one, the reasoning, the hiding, the lack of sincerity, the bitterness, the anger, the resentment, the jealousy, the envy, the inordinate desires, the hidden idolatry of the heart, or the idolatries of the heart. In the Old Testament, the word idolatry or idols literally mean nothingness or nothingness, to which persons align themselves. You know, the pornography, the inordinate desire for more and more and more, and the list goes on. And I have been in the ministry a number of years, and I have seen how I've seen the havoc that sin does to the lives of individuals. Lack of conformity to the character of God on the part of the believing ones. I see what this has done. I've seen what it has done to the mind. I see what the practice of sin has done to the personality. And some of these individuals were not true believing ones, but nevertheless, they call themselves Christian. They use the adjective Christian. But my emphasis here, and the emphasis that Paul is making here, is let not sin reign as king. Interesting, is it not? Let not sin therefore reign as king. Again, what we have here. So we have a present period of prohibition that forbids an action already going on. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now, the psychology, as it were, of the believer is radically different from that in the psychology of the cosmos. And look at what Paul writes in verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves. So he explains what he means by members. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. So, verse 12, let not sin therefore reign. And then Paul in verse 13 states, neither yield ye your members as instruments. And so I need to give you this from the Greek text. So the word instrument is just the transliteration of the word hopla. And it literally means instruments of war. Instruments of war. And so our members, that is our mind, our faculty, the executive faculty, our conscience, our emotions, and then our thought life, our attitude, all these things that that which makes up personality, that which defines who we are as individuals, is not to be under the power of sin as an instrument of war. Hopla, H-O-P-L-A. It is a very frightening term here that Paul uses deliberately. In Ephesians 6, Paul will talk about or speak about the armor of God. The believer must put on the armor of God. And the tenses that are used there by Paul indicates that the believer is to put on once and for all the armor of God and never to take it off. Never to take it off. It is necessary that the believers put on the armor of God, because we wrestle not against blood and flesh. And so there, wrestle means to wrestle to the death. And in Greek wrestling tournaments, it was to gouge the eyes out of one's opponents. It was to destroy the one's opponent. And so when Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The word against there means face-to-face conflict. Face-to-face conflict. And wrestle in the Greek is the word means to vibrate against. So this is very, very serious. This is very rich. This is very deep. This is very powerful. And these very poignant words open for us a very a new understanding of what God has mandated that we understand about our new situation in Christ. Verse 13, once again, neither yield ye your members as hopla or instruments of war unto unrighteousness, or the practice of that which is not right before God, unto sin. And so the believer told, and notice, neither. Verse 11, where believing ones are to likewise reckon you yourselves to be dead unto sin. Verse 12, we are told, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body. Verse 13, neither yield ye your members of hopla or instruments of war unto unrighteousness, unto sin. And in verse 13b, but yield, and here we have, again, we have an aorist imperative. We're to do it once and for all. The aorist means at a point in time an event happened or happened. The imperative, of course, means to do it at once. So the aorist imperative. Aorist imperative active for the believing one. Again, the aorist, at a point in time, an event took place or happened. The imperative means to do it at once. The active voice, again, denotes that we are to do this once and for all. But yield yourselves unto God. What am I speaking about? I'm speaking about sanctification. That good, wonderful, old-fashioned word, sanctification. Here I'm talking about practical sanctification. Paul talks about positional sanctification, also in his letter to the Ephesians, and in other passages. There's positional sanctification, which denotes our position in Christ. We sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is a positional truth. Here is a very practical truth because the believer's enemies are the world, the cosmos, the sparks, or the flesh, and the diabolos, or the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil are the enemies of the believer. Please read the Old Testament book of Joshua. Please read Joshua. And there one reads about what believers face. And there is victory for us, beloved, in Christ. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And in the Greek, more than conquerors means super conquerors. Super conquerors, super. We are super conquerors in Christ. And that is true. That the enemy does not want us to understand. We are super conquerors through him that loved us. Not mere survivors. We are super conquerors. Paul writes in Romans 8 that for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are slaughtered all the day long. And that is a passage that I used to think about in great detail and really wanted to understand deeper. This is what Paul writes in Romans 8. Verse 35, Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation or distress? Or persecution, or famine, that is without food, of course, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. as it is written, for thy sake we are killed. And here the word means butchered. All the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37 in the English Bible that I have reads, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors. However, in the Greek it reads, but in or within the sphere. The preposition in means within the sphere, but within the sphere of these things, we are super conquerors through him that loved us. And super conquerors means to vanquish beyond. Super conquerors means to gain a decisive victory through him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, it is the future, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be powerful, word able there is powerful, to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus again, our Lord. Christ Jesus, our Lord. It is important to understand deeply what it means to be a believing one. And so back in chapter 6, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as hopla or instruments of war, of unrighteousness unto sin. That is, to live a defeated life. No believer is predisposed to live a defeated life. We are in Christ. We are in the winner's circle, literally. And so, if you feel, beloved, today that you are living a defeated life in Christ, let me tell you that the enemy wants you to hold on to that thought so that he might destroy your effectiveness for our living Lord. Please jettison feeling sorry for oneself. It is a mental attitude sin that is highly destructive and should not at all be in one's life. And you might say, well, you don't know what I think. Well, I read in scriptures what our Lord faced on our behalf. And we are told by Pew that we can cast all our cares upon him, but he careth for us. We cast all our cares upon him. And when you think in terms of self-pity, and when you think in terms of living a defeated life, then the enemy has won. But there is hope, beloved. There is recovery. And one can take that attitude sin of defeat and of self-pity and bring that before the Lord and let him have it. I say this because we need more believers to jettison the practice of sin and to not let sin therefore reign in their mortal bodies. Believers must begin today to reckon themselves, be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. We will continue this message next time on the Pentecost. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.